Well, we got last week's video again, so congratulations. There was a different one for this week, but that's okay. Glad you're here for the last week of the series, I Need a Breakthrough. And we've been looking at life and moments when we feel like maybe we have hit a pause and we don't know how to move forward. And there are moments when we need to break through. We need God to come alongside of us and we need to be able to move forward. So we started saying, what does that even look like? What does it look like to break through in moments of life? What does it look like to leave behind things which are in the past, whether it's sin or success or other things we talked about, and actually trust God for more that might be in front of us? Then we said, what might a spiritual breakthrough look like? Particularly in our spiritual life, how might we break through? Then last week we said, financially, how might we break through financially? What are some practical things that might allow us to do that? This week we're going to talk about a physical breakthrough. Not necessarily a normal topic in church, really, but a very popular topic in our culture. A very popular and prominent topic just about everywhere that you look in culture today. We are, I would say, somewhat obsessed with our bodies in some form. We're obsessed with things like the look of our bodies, the shape of our bodies, the weight of our bodies, the height of our bodies, the tone of our skin, the wrinkles in our skin, the blemishes on our skin, the style of our hair, the color of our hair, maybe the location of our hair, the lack of our hair, right? I mean, we are obsessed with these things. Our culture everywhere is really interested in our bodies. And I feel a little awkward mentioning hair loss because I don't want to tip my head down too far, right? I mean, some of you feel that too. We all know that I think everybody wants some kind of physical breakthrough. No matter where you find yourself, if you say a spectrum from sickness, from really not doing well, to like Olympic athlete level fitness, and we all find ourselves somewhere, we all kind of want to move a little bit to the right. We don't want to go backwards towards sickness in any way. We don't long for days when we have less energy. We don't want more illness in our family. We all want to move somewhere toward health. And if we can't, at least in our culture, then we just sort of make it happen in our lives. I was doing this and I was kind of interested to know how often in our culture do we just like pay for services which will make us look like we have been doing all the things that would make us actually look that way. And so I only could go back to 2013, but just for your information, the top two surgeries, which some of them are necessary, I'll recognize that, but there were 290,000 of these two, 209,000 breast augmentations and 221,000 nose jobs. Those are the two biggest ones in America just in 2013, just in our country. Those two each in our country, $1 billion in each of those two things that were spent on just those two. And if you go non-surgery and just sort of injectables, right, we had 6.3 million Botox injections in our country and 1.1 million laser hair removals, which that's $2.5 billion in Botox. We spend a lot of money to look good, to look the way we think we should, to have physical breakthrough. We're a little obsessed with bodies. And so we have to step back a little. As we begin a sermon looking at what God might say about our bodies, we have to step back from our culture just a little and say, how might God actually look at our bodies, and why might he have anything to say about them, and what might he have to say about them? Because the first thing I think Scripture says is very clear, and I think everybody will agree with it. I think scientists, students, young, old, we're all going to agree with this one. And it's essentially that our bodies are fighting a losing battle. We're not going to win this one. The older you get, the more you realize it, right? If you're still, say, sub-mid-20s, it doesn't feel like this yet, right? And I'm not that much past that, but I feel it because you start getting into the 30s, and then I'm sure later, and you start to say, man, I did something, and it hurts where it didn't used to hurt when I did that thing. Or I'm not able to do that, or my weight starts to relocate into certain central zones of my body, or my hair starts to migrate. We won't go any further on that one, right? We start to deteriorate our bodies. It hurts where it shouldn't. We experience, if we will, physical breakdowns, not physical breakthroughs. Paul talks about this exact thing. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says this, outwardly, he says, we're wasting away, but inwardly, he says, we're being renewed day by day. Paul kind of says there's two parts to you. There's an inward part of you. We'll put that over here. The inward part of you is the soul and the emotions and the personality and the character, all that stuff that makes up the inside of you. And Paul says that part of you is being renewed. It's actually improving. It's growing if you're in Christ and you're seeking him. That's actually on the up. But there's this other part of you, the outward part of you, your physical body, your bones and your skin and your muscles and all that stuff. And it's actually going the other way. It's deteriorating. It's on its way down. But you notice what he doesn't say there? That means it's unimportant. He just says it's on its way down. In fact, in the book before that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, and this will be on the screen for you as well, in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul says this about the body. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Honor God with your bodies. Somewhere I feel like as I grew up in the church, we kind of got away from that. There were a couple things as a kid, like when I was a teenager, you know, don't have sex before you're married, a couple things about not honoring God. But the general sense of using my body as a tool to honor God in all my actions, I felt like I lost because most time was spent over here on my inner person. Let's keep renewing the inner person and we can kind of let go of the body a little because it's wasting away. So let's focus on what will last. But Paul seems to say that this is still important. It is wasting away, but it is important. And we're to honor God with whatever this is and whatever we do with it. He says, God bought you at a great price. So honor him with your body. He has placed his spirit inside of that body. It is a temple. Honor him with it. And all through Scripture, the body is valued. It starts at the very beginning, right? When God creates Adam and Eve, he creates them with a physical body. So God creates Adam, and he looks at him and says, I could do better. And so he comes and he says, I'm going to create Eve. And he creates Eve with a physical body and says, no, the first one was actually the best. I'm just kidding. Come on. So he creates both, right, with an actual physical body. And what does he say at that image? This is really good. This physicalness that we have is a good thing, and there is value to it. It continues. In the Old Testament, many of the laws and the rules help protect God's people and their bodies. They give them health. Jesus comes in the form of a human. He takes on flesh. If that doesn't give value to our bodies, nothing ever will. That God, the eternal God, who does not need physical presence, comes to us and takes on flesh. That gives immense value to our bodies. Jesus heals people's bodies. He doesn't just forgive people. He does. That's the inner man. He does that. But he also heals them physically. He does physical work. He values the body. And we know even more at the end of all things, we will have new bodies. So the physical part is important. And God sees it that way. So how do we honor him with it? I think the first part is just to change how we see our bodies. It's so easy to dismiss them, especially as they start to age probably and we get frustrated with them. There's things I'm only 30, okay? I acknowledge it. But there's things I'm already frustrated with, right? Because I can't do them like I did when I was 20. And I'm sure you feel that way every 10 years or so. But how do we honor him then? The first thing I think is to change. Change the way we see the body. To start to actually believe that God has given it to us for a reason and that we're supposed to use it to honor him. That we're supposed to use it for his purposes. So that instead of saying things like our culture, that your body is yours so you could learn to be thin, we might say, God would say so you could glorify him. Your body is yours so you could give him glory. God hasn't given you your body to have defined biceps and triceps and glutes, and that's fine if you want to do that. I believe in that stuff. It's good. But instead, maybe God gave you your body so you could make Christ visible to the people around you. That there's a purpose and a reason and a vision behind us being physical presence in our communities. And our body's a big part of that. God's given us bodies so we can serve and honor him. It's a first step, if you will, toward physical breakthrough, is to start seeing our bodies the way he sees them. Because it doesn't affect how much he loves you. And got to be clear about that one. It doesn't matter if you add 10 pounds or subtract 10 pounds or do anything. God's not going to love you any less or love you any more. It has nothing to do with how much he feels love toward you. It's more like, so often in church we talk about our inner person and we say, God is wanting to, by his grace, renew that inner person. Continue to move it forward and make it new every day. Now, he's not going to make your physical body new until the end of all times, but he's wanting to say, by his grace, can our physical body be something that's used to honor him, something that's used for his purposes and for his service. So how do you view your body is the first question. How do you see it, honestly? Are you too critical of it? Do you see it the way God sees it? I don't know, but that's a question you probably need to ask for yourself. Do you feel like you're using it to honor him? Do you feel like you're using it to serve him as a gift to you, a vessel, so to speak, for your inner person to serve and glorify God, something you use to advance his kingdom? Because I'm going to give you sort of three really practical, simple things that I think we can do for physical breakthrough, but we have to kind of get this mental thing down first and see our bodies the way God does. So as we go into those three things, I want to be clear about a couple things. The first one is this. There are some things we have no control over physically, right? There are some things we don't have control over. We get sick sometimes, we have no control over that. We have genetic things that we have no control over. There are certain things we just have no control over. That's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about anything this morning that you have no control over. But there are some things we do have control over. And what are we doing in those areas to honor God with our bodies? The second thing is this. This talk this morning is for the person sitting in your chair. Okay? It's not for the person sitting in the chair next to you. And I don't want to see little elbows as you hear things like, okay, no. This is for you. This is for you to think about, and what might God have for you as it regards your body. So three practical things to help us reach breakthrough. First one, change the way that you eat. Change the way that you eat. If you do any research ever in nutrition, right, you're going to see the first thing people often say is whatever you put in has a huge effect on your health. Whatever you put in has a huge effect on your health. Food is sort of the fuel for us in the same way fuel is fuel for a car. We had a service day a little while ago, and Tim was nice enough to bring a lawnmower. I wasn't even planning on sharing this, I just thought of it. And we had this lawnmower, we're driving it, normal gas, right? And just by some chance, it got filled with the wrong kind of gas at one point. And so you start the thing up, and it starts running, right? But not real good. And it's thankful that it didn't actually just die. But a lot of times that's what happens when we start giving the wrong fuel to the kind of engine. Our bodies are kind of that way too. We have to feed them with fuel that actually feeds them, that helps them to grow, that helps them to be vibrant and awake and alive and full of energy. This is one of the hardest ones for me because it's a constant choice. And it's a choice every moment. Right? If I go to the grocery store, I have about a million choices in the course of 20 minutes about how I'm going to handle this one. If I walk by the fridge, I have another moment. If I walk by the pantry, I have another moment. And we don't even have a ton of junk food in our house. If I drive by Taco Bell, which I love, I have another moment, right, of temptation. And what am I feeding myself? We know as a culture how hard this is because we have a million diets. Right? We know it's hard to control what we eat, so we come up with a ton of diets. Be real honest, how many people at some point in your life have done any kind of diet ever? Just put your hand up. Come on, be honest. Let's do it. I did. Yeah, that's most of us, right? And some of us are like, I've done two or three diets at the same time. I was doing like the Atkins vegan no-carb South Beach raw food diet. It was awesome. I didn't eat anything, right? Pretty much. I did the water diet where I really didn't eat anything. Here's what happens, though, at least to me, when I start to think about food in that way, when I start to think, what do I need to deny myself, is I go on a diet, and then I go to a restaurant or something, or I go out to eat with someone, or I'm eating with someone, and I'm sitting there having not eaten, you know, bad food for a week, and I go and I see the person next to me, and they order some ridiculous, yummy, greasy thing, right? And what happens in that moment? Can you believe they're eating that? Can you believe they would eat that? That is so unhealthy. Which is exactly what I was eating a week ago, right? And I'm going to finish this diet, and then I'm going to start eating it again. It's really easy if we think diet, I think, to just kind of get into that mode of temporary. I think maybe an easier way to do it is to think what food is actually just beneficial. What food is actually good for us? And can we feed ourselves those things? Paul kind of touches on this in 1 Corinthians 10. He's talking about food that's been sacrificed to idols, and is it okay to eat? But he kind of says this about food. He says, everything, I'm going to read from the Amplified, which is kind of a blown-up version of the Bible that gives you some extra stuff in it, so it's going to be up there on the screen. Everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful for me. Good for me to do, expedient, and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. Paul says there are things which are permissible for us, but aren't necessarily beneficial. Permissible meaning it's not a sin. I could do it. It's just not necessarily beneficial. I don't remember which week it was, a couple weeks ago, I talked about how I had this awesome habit of eating cinnamon rolls for lunch when I was in high school. Maybe you remember that, giant cinnamon rolls, that was my lunch. Is that permissible? Yeah, it's permissible. I wasn't sinning by eating cinnamon roll. However, it's sure not beneficial, right? I mean, it was not good for my health, and I only covered it by being ridiculously active at that point in my life. Otherwise, it would have been probably really horrible for me And why can't broccoli taste like cinnamon rolls? That's my other thought. It would be much easier to make eating healthier. The question for us, I think, is not what is permissible, because lots is permissible. What could be beneficial with food? What could be beneficial that we eat? Probably the most basic answer for me, and one that's been super helpful, and I've even, hopefully, my wife could tell you maybe not, but come this a little bit further in the last year, is to say, is the food that I'm eating the food that God gave us? Is it the food that he created, which is made to nourish our bodies? That's been a huge change for me, especially since I grew up, to start eating more of the food that when you walk into the grocery store is all around the outside edges instead of down the aisles, right? All of that food that expires because it's fresh and it's grown. Picture yourself for a minute in the grocery store and walking around the edges. And what sort of things do you find there? I mean, you find fruits and vegetables. You find meat. You find fish. You find, there's some unhealthy things too. Dairy, eggs, right? All that stuff that expires that has sort of natural nutrients built in. I think if we build the majority of our diet, I'm not saying you shouldn't have some sweets sometime, but if we build the majority of our diet around those things, if we change the way we eat, it can have an impact in our physical life, and it might lead to physical breakthrough. It might lead to honoring our bodies a little bit in the way God might call us to. Again, nothing in the aisles is morally wrong. It's permissible. If you want to eat Captain Crunch and Hot Pockets all day, you can. Really. I'm not going to judge you. Don't judge me either. But we might ask, can I choose something that might be more beneficial so that I might preserve this body as long as I can to be of service to God? I think sticking to food God made is an easy way. I heard someone one time say it like this. When I go in the grocery store, I just ask two questions. Did God make it, and is it in a form that's good for me? Play that out a little bit. A potato, right? God made it. It's in a form that's good for me. French fries. It's something God made, but it might not be in a form that's good for me. Unless it's waffle fries. I love those. Those are actually healthy, right? Yeah, they're good. We all need to have snacks. We all need to have moments we indulge. But if we want physical breakthrough, one of the things we can do is just change the way that we eat. Start with what you're putting in. What you put into your body matters. Change the way you eat. The second thing that might help us lead to physical breakthrough is a bit tougher, honestly, I think for all of us, but especially in our culture, in our lives, in our world, it's important. So much of our lives now is spent in sedentary mode, right? We sit to drive, we sit to work, we're constantly sitting. Some of us have awesome jobs where we don't have to sit, but a lot of us sit a lot. We sit at home to watch TV. So I think it's important in our culture that we try to work to exercise, change the way that we exercise. And so to do that, I want to just let someone else who's had kind of a physical breakthrough, another pastor that I know of, just share for a moment what that looked like for him to start to change that environment. So this is Kevin Queen, another pastor in our denomination. You can check this out.
I read a study recently that people who jog regularly add on average 5 to 6 years to their life. Now, that's great news if you like to run, if you're like my wife, but I'm not like that. I remember in the movie Chariots of Fire when Eric Liddell, when he said, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." The opposite is true for me. It's when I stop running that I feel God's pleasure. And you know, I don't exercise to add years to my life. I exercise to add life to my years. I feel better after I exercise. I did some research recently, though, to find some of the benefits of regular exercise, and here's what I discovered. It increases energy levels, elevates metabolism, improves circulation, strengthens muscles, strengthens bones, decreases blood pressure, reduces stress, improves digestive system, and improves sleep patterns. I also found that it heightens sexuality, but I didn't put it on the list because I knew you guys get sidetracked, and we'll just keep that in the marriage series. So, maybe you know the benefits of exercise, and maybe you've tried to keep exercise commitments before, but you've struggled with it. Maybe you know that it would honor God, but you've had a hard time with it. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you some things that I've learned over this past year that can maybe help you find physical breakthrough, some practical things that you can download into your life that will help you find breakthrough. The first one, and in my opinion, my humble opinion, is the most important, is to get a friend. Get a friend. See, get someone else to exercise with you. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In fact, I found that I'm most effective in keeping commitments if I invite someone else to join me in the process. And so every day I show up and I work out with a friend. I've got a friend that I work out with. We encourage one another. We challenge one another. We even pray for one another. It's community. And here's why it works. Because when one of us doesn't show up, the other one gives them a hard time. And we rag one another. And there's just an accountability that's built in. Now, you might not go to Woody Allen for fitness advice, but I think he was right when he said 80% of success comes from just showing up. And sometimes we need other people to help us show up. Now, the second thing, is that we get a time. We find a time in our schedule that works for us and that we can sustain. So for my wife, it's 5:30 a.m. I've got other friends who work out on their lunch hour. I know other people who love to work out in the evenings. The time of day is not as important as it is that you keep the time, that you calendar it. See, the hour that you spend exercising is not an hour stolen away from others. It's actually an hour that ensures that your other 23 hours are the best that they can be. And then the third thing is that you challenge yourself. That you challenge yourself. See, we all have one of these. We all have a comfort zone. We all have somewhere we feel comfortable. But growth happens out here. Growth happens outside of our comfort zone. In fact, if we want to see results with our health, we have to get outside of our comfort zone. Now, for you outside of your comfort zone, it might mean that you walk 30 minutes a day. It might mean that you start training for a 5K or a 10K or a half marathon. Maybe it means that you ride a bike for 10 miles. Maybe you join an adult basketball league. Or maybe you get a physical trainer or maybe join a fitness program. But sometimes in order to see results, we got to make an investment. I heard recently that on average in our nation, people spend more money on their health in their final stage of life than they do all of their life leading up to that point. Sometimes you got to make an investment if you want to see results. Now, finally, I would give you the tip. Practice the principle of something is better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. And here's what I mean. When people begin a workout regimen, sometimes they miss their time on the treadmill and they go, well, I missed it. I'll just do nothing. But something is better than nothing. Let me show you what I mean by that. When I first started working out, I couldn't do a pull-up. I was in the gym and I saw girls doing pull-ups and I couldn't do a pull-up. And one of the trainers, he gave me a box and he said, I want you to get up on the box and I want you to do a pull-up. And so I got up on the box and I began to just jump to do pull-ups. Now, I can't tell you how humiliating it was to do jumping pull-ups, but I told myself something is better than nothing. And then over time, eventually, I was able to do pull-ups. So if you can't sprint, run. If you can't run, jog. If you can't jog, walk. Something is better than nothing. Maybe you can't do full-on push-ups, but you can do push-ups on your knees. Maybe you can't squat 500 pounds. Neither can I, but you can squat your body weight. Something is better than nothing. And when you invest time in exercising, you're making investments in the future you. See, when I'm 80, I want to be able to get up out of a chair on my own. I want to be able to walk upstairs on my own and maybe even carry my great-grandchildren.
So change the way we exercise. I love the principle that something is better than nothing. No matter where you find yourself, there's something you can do. It might look different for every one of us. Some of us need to run a marathon, or it's not even really a workout. Some of us just need to practice getting up and down off the floor a couple times, and that's probably all we need. I mean, there's different levels because we're all at different places. Something is better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. Change the way we exercise. Get someone to do it with you. It's a huge advantage and a great spiritual principle to walk through things in life with someone alongside you. We're built for fellowship, we're built for community, and this is an area where it's very effective to have someone with you. So these two things I think are pretty important. Change the way we eat, change the way we exercise. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, change the way that you sleep. Change the way you sleep. Think about this for a minute. We spend a third of our lives sleeping. Isn't that crazy? God could have designed us in such a way that we didn't need to sleep. I mean, he could have. He doesn't sleep. But he made us so we need to sleep for a good portion of our lives. It's like a daily reminder that we aren't God and we need to rest. We need to have our batteries recharged. We need to reset our mind and our soul and begin again the next day. I remember vividly a professor at school one time just saying to me, maybe the most spiritual thing you could do is go take a nap. When I was in college, right? Because I was burning it at both ends and I needed sleep. And he saw it. And he said that regularly. He said, even in your own life, once you leave college, sometimes the best thing you can do is go to bed on time and get up. I'm also bad at that sometimes. I'm better going to bed late and sleeping in, right? Get a bedtime. Change the way you sleep. Maybe you need to change your sleep environment so that you can sleep. Maybe if you're a parent, I know that's hard. You got kids, you got all sorts of stuff going on. Maybe you work with your spouse to set up some system where at least one of you gets a good night's sleep and then you trade off or something, right? So there's moments at least when you have good sleep. Sleep is a spiritual thing. So some of you are now thinking, this is fantastic. I'm going to bring my pillow next Sunday and I'm going to lay it in the pew. And you know, if you need it, do it. If you need to go in the back and sleep while we're having service, maybe it's the most spiritual thing that could happen for you. We need to make sure that we're resting because it affects our character. Do you know that? Just ask yourself for a minute, what kind of person am I when I'm tired? Maybe you should ask this question. Look at the person next to you and say, what kind of person are they when they're tired? Don't tell them. Right? We know. We know that being tired affects our character. We know that, say, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, but maybe it's also partially a fruit of sleep. We're able to really serve and love God with everything we have when we're not exhausted, when we're not so tired that we can't actually go through the things we need to go through. It's a gift to us that we can sleep. So how are you doing with it? God built it into what it means to be human for us. It kind of becomes a catalyst for our health. It becomes a catalyst to help us exercise, a catalyst to help us eat well. It helps keep our resolve strong so I don't just eat cinnamon rolls every day for lunch. And it even helps us, I think, develop our character, really. Helps us to become people who are more patient and kind and loving. And that inner man that we talked about being renewed, having our outer man rested really affects what God does in our inner man. So how do you do with these things, and how do you do with looking at your body? Do you see it kind of the way God does? Do you see it as a gift to you, as something that he values, as something to be used to honor him with? And if you do, are you taking some steps to at least try to take care of it? Are there places maybe you need some physical breakthrough? Do you need to work on what you eat most of the time, or if you're getting any exercise, maybe you need to work on sleep? They're really simple things. They're not always very easy. But they sure can have an impact. Because I think that God has each of us here. The reason he cares so much about our bodies right now, even though they are wasting away, Scripture says, is that they are vessels and tools for us to be used to reach out for his kingdom, to love people, to physically, tangibly present Christ to people. So how are you doing taking care of it? We're going to pray for that, but I'm going to pray for you this week that that's something that God just helps you see. And what is the next step? Is it just something's better than nothing and I got to start something? So I'm going to pray for you, and then after I do, I have one more announcement for you today. Father, thank you for these awesome people. Thank you that they love you and they are seeking you. And as we talk a little bit about some scripture that just seems to say that you value our physical presence, our body, our outer person, while we know that it's something that over time we're all destined to waste away in this life and before we receive in another life a new body, an eternal one that lasts and thanks to you is not sick and is not, we don't have to deal with some of that stuff. But right now, you've given us this one and you've asked us to honor you with it, to work for your kingdom with it, to love you with it, to love others with it, to present Christ to people because we have a physical presence. So will you help us to take care of it? Maybe there's some things in our life we need to work on. For those who feel like maybe it's just food and I need to stop eating some things or start eating some different things, will you just help us to take a step even in that area? I think something better than nothing. Will you help us if we need to start doing some kind of exercise? Will you help us to find someone to partner with us in that so we can walk through that together? Will you help us figure out how to get some sleep? Have something that kind of helps us so we're rested and ready to go and feel like we can love and serve you? Because I think it affects our character and our ability to follow you. So help us to work that one out. And all these things, God, will you allow us to honor you with all that we have? Thank you for your word that touches on so many areas of our life. And we desire and seek to honor you with our physical very real, tangible bodies. And we love you today. Be with us this week in all that we do. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. On your way out today...